south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
And now a word about my January 2019 Expat Insider Seminar. The upcoming seminar will be a very special one. You know, they're all special, but this one's going to be extra special. Why is that? Well, I've been doing my Expat Insider Seminars since 2010, almost 9 years now. And one of the questions I often get is, why Guatemala? Why don't you do the seminar in another Latin country or two? And what about those famous Latin American beaches and those fantastic coastlines? And it's true, till now I've never taken any of my seminar groups to the beach or either the coast, Pacific or Atlantic. Mostly because Guatemala has ugly, dark sand beaches because of the volcanoes. Well, you've heard me say that Guatemala is a perfect representation of a country that's way off the gringo tourist trail, and one that's on the U.S. State Department's travel feces list, too. And that generally means it's a very good Plan B destination. Thank you, State Department. Anyway, this time we'll be in the Altiplano as usual, and we're going to the coast and the beach. But not the crappy dark sand beaches of Guatemala that you can't even walk on barefoot because they're so damn hot. I'm serious, that's one of the little known things about dark sand beaches. They absorb so much more solar radiation like anything dark does. That means they just get unbearably hot. Think of dark colored upholstery when your car's in the sun. I'm serious, you can't walk on it barefoot or you burn your feet. So I ask you, what kind of fun beach outing is that? Which begs the question, why would you ever want a house on a dark sand beach? Well, the fact is thousands of wealthy Latins and clueless gringos do just that. For two reasons. One, because of logistics, those beaches are the closest to the big cities where the wealthier people work and live. The idea is to pop over there on weekends. Or their snot-nosed entitled kids do, anyway. And two, because they've got travel tunnel vision. Meaning they've got the dough, but they're short on education, curiosity, culture, and class. So they never venture out to explore the really pristine white sand beaches, for example, in the Caribbean. They just don't know the difference, and there's a huge difference. To them, a beach is a beach, and a beach house is a beach house. You know, it's true everywhere. Beach house ownership is a status symbol, even if the beaches themselves and the turgid water suck. And you can't even walk the beaches in the daytime or swim in the water. So that's the state of the beaches in Guatemala, but the cool thing is, just a couple of hours south in that little country of El Salvador, the beaches get progressively nicer and nicer, and there truly are some hidden gems. So we'll include a little side trip during the seminar so you can see all that. Oh, but you say you've heard bad things about El Salvador. That's where all the gangs came from that are up in the big cities in the States, right? But of course you've heard that about Honduras and Guatemala too. But I assure you, we never go near any of those places. Ask anyone who's gone to any of my previous seminars. Think of it this way. Just like in Mexico, a narco state, if there ever was one, if you go to the Yucatan Peninsula there, the Cancun, Tulum, Playa del Carmen area, they get millions of gringo tourists a year. Why? Because that's not in the gangland narco corridor. In fact, all the way up the Caribbean coast there, it's pretty much another kind of Mexico. The same is true for El Salvador's Pacific coast. Again, totally devoid of gangs and narco activity. It's peaceful, quiet, beautiful, cheap, and really nice. But where were we? Oh yeah. Just a reminder, for all of you who are coming to this seminar and want to apply for your Guatemalan temporary or permanent residency, still one of the easiest and least expensive residency programs with the least amount of hoops to jump through, meaning if you're coming to the seminar and want to kill two birds with one stone, you'll be heading directly from the seminar in El Salvador to Guatemala, as will all you seminar attendees that elect to go to the John Galt post-trip tour, which will also be in Guatemala. Now, since the beginning and the end of the seminar will be in Guatemala, you'll be flying into Guatemala City as usual, and you'll also be flying out of Guatemala City too. That makes it a lot easier. I was thinking of maybe flying into Salvador and then flying out of Guatemala, but that's a little too complicated. So we're going to have you fly into Guatemala City and fly out from the same airport. That means when you make your reservation, it's going to be a round trip to Guatemala City. And we'll take a big Pullman bus for the El Salvador leg of the journey. And then we'll take our bus back to Antigua, Guatemala, and finish up the seminar. By the way, Antigua is an amazing UNESCO World Heritage Site. And then, once the seminar is finished, and you happen to be one of those who is applying for Guatemalan permanent or temporary residency, and or attending the John Galt trips, you'll be spending some extra days in Guatemala, and we'll be making the arrangements for you. So, let me repeat. If you wish to apply for Guatemalan temporary or permanent residency, be sure to plan on staying another week immediately after the seminar. And don't worry. Once you're in Guatemala, you won't be stuck in a hotel for a week waiting to get that residency paperwork signed, because you can avail yourself of the very special extended John Galt trip at that time. If you sign up for that, you'll be touring the most beautiful lake in the world, Lake Atitlan, and all the little towns around it. And you know, if your plan B involves, when you finally get down here to Latin America, having to get a business started, that John Galt trip is just the ticket. The fact is, every time I visit the lake, I see so many business opportunities. And you know what? If you keep your eyes open, you will too. And after you visit the lake, you'll be visiting some of the hidden nooks and crannies in Antigua, Guatemala, too. That's where a lot of gringos and expats end up living, by the way. And of course, you'll see volcanoes, Mayan ruins, and pyramids, too. Not only that, you'll be visiting the very desirable burbs in and around Guatemala City. But that's not all. There'll be a lot of surprises and aha moments, too. Guaranteed. So bottom line, you can visit just for the week-long seminar itself, or you can stay on an extra week or more. You'll need to do that if you're getting your residency going. And then you can take that optional John Galt post-seminar trip too. Of course, we'll make all the arrangements and accommodations for you and hold your hand all along the way. That said, right now I have all the information and the sign-up sheet at the newexpat.com website, so check it out. And remember, if you sign up by December 1st, you'll be getting in on those early bird discounts. You'll save $1,000 off the single and double occupancy price. And don't forget, we've got a 3-payment plan option too. Oh, and people have been asking me about the airfare prices. I just checked on cheapoairandfly.com, and I was able to get a flight from O'Hare Field with one layover for around $510. And that's about the price for any major hub coming out of the States. Of course, the prices are all over the place, but you can get great deals like that. In fact, the cheapest I ever saw it was when someone came down last seminar, $465, flying out of New York. All right then, as promised, I'm going to try to finish off now what people really need to know about those Latin mating Cupid dating match sites. Again, we're talking about this because it's such a hot topic. In fact, I just popped over to one of those sites myself just to check out the stats, and guess what? A site called LatinCupid.com claims in the left-hand corner to have 3 million members with active people online, as I checked it out, around 10,000. Hey, that's a hell of a lot of lonely heart gringos, huh? It's hard to believe, but I doubt they're making that stuff up. All right, let's get into the meat of the email from our man in the Latin Cupid trenches, Kevin. Who said, I think I mentioned in the last show, he's been on the site for over 6 months and is actually hooked up with 3 Colombian women. He's flying down to have dates with them, and they don't know about each other, he says. But in fact, he's been on the site so many times and has talked to so many women, he says, he could write a book about it. But he admits he's short on writing skills, so he's not going to do it. All right, here's the rest of his email, and I'm definitely going to have to edit it. Again, ladies and gents, don't kill the messenger. I'm just reading this thing. And though you first world gringo ladies might take offense to a lot of this stuff, don't you want to know what the other half is thinking and doing? All right, you can reference back to the last show to get the first part of his email, but he starts the second part by saying, Johnny, at the risk of revealing my inner a-hole, Kevin, I think you did that already. Anyway, he says, I'd like to reveal that the ladies on these Latin dating Cupid mating sites are almost always a bit or even more than a bit desperate and have had some very bad relationships and a kid or two in the wings. Though the guys like me who go to those sites to hook up with women may be just as desperate and come off of many bad relationships too. So desperate guys, desperate girls, through the miracle of the internet, we found each other. Oh, and Johnny, another important point I don't think it's a good idea to go telling your friends you're scouting around on those Cupid sites. And if you do, be prepared to be shamed by not so much your gringo friends, but their wives and girlfriends if they ever get wind of it. Then he says, another thing you really have to know is, sure, most everyone's in some stage of desperation, except it's the desperate men who actually pay the monthly fee of $30. They let you sign up for free, but the thing is, they don't let you communicate with any of the girls you might be interested in. Yes, once you're in the site and you've signed up with your name and email and all that, you can post your picture and your profile up there, but the ladies can't communicate with you either. The site owners are pretty smart. You can communicate back and forth with anyone on that site all day long as at least one of you is a paid member. And all the Latin women on the site know that. Why would they pay their $30 if the guys are all paying? However, about 1 in 100 women you'll see pays that monthly fee. And that in itself should tell you she's really desperate because practically no other women pay. They're easy to spot too. The window that their photo appears in is twice the size of a regular one, and it's got flashing colored icons saying she's a preferred member. So, in my view, she's either overly desperate or overly stupid. Or maybe she just got on the site and didn't realize it, or maybe she's got a lot of money. But personally, I lean toward overly desperate or just stupid. You be the judge. Then he says, Johnny, once you've been texting to a girl on one of those sites, don't ever think that you've got her undivided attention, that she's singled you out as her choice gringo dude. It's a fact that she's probably juggling 10 or 20 guys at a time while she's talking to you. And how can you tell? Well, it's like this. As you're texting with her on that site, of course, you'll never chat in real time because your Spanish will suck and she probably won't speak English. So you'll be writing sentences and paragraphs that you Google translated and pasted into the chat site, and she'll answer. Probably not right away. Could be some minutes will pass. And her answers will almost always be very stripped down and minimal. Maybe just a word or two, like, yes, no, maybe, I'm at work, I'm going to bed, I just had dinner. The fact is, that's about all she can manage to write to you because she's juggling a dozen other guys who are texting her too. Which is why so many of these young ladies with darker hearts have learned to turn the whole process into a regular business, a job. That job being to keep 10 or 20 gringos on the line and collect a little bit of money from each one of them every month. That's the trick. They don't ask for much. It's a numbers game of quantity, not quality. After all, to us U.S. males, what's 20, 50, or 100 bucks a month? You could drop that and more when you're out with the guys on Friday night in just a couple hours. When I found out about that game and how often it's played, that was an eye-opener. And concerning Google Translate, she is using Google Translate too, as are you, which I admit is a breakthrough. But we still all seem to go through profiles looking for ladies who put down that they speak English or have some English fluency. I think that's a big mistake that all of us U.S. males make, looking for Latin girls that speak English or some English. More on that later. But the real breakthrough, I think, on these mating sites is that they automatically will translate your English phrases into Spanish for them and vice versa. So you won't need Google Translate as long as you remain texting with the ladies through that site. However, if you're making a good impression on her, within a day or so, or even within a couple of paragraphs of texting, you'll move to the next level. She'll ask you to switch to WhatsApp. So you better have it, or you'll get nowhere. In fact, if you tell her you don't have WhatsApp, she'll think there's something wrong with you, that you might be the scammer, because in their minds, everyone on the planet has WhatsApp. Okay? I just mentioned that almost all of us U.S. males look for a girl who speaks some English. Funny thing, when they say they do in their profiles, most of them are fibbing. So as you're texting with them, ask them that question up front. How good is your English? Funny enough, that's when they'll be honest with you. They'll say, no, I don't speak English. Even though in most cases, that's the exact opposite of what they've written in their profile. And funny enough, most of us United States males won't lie about how bad our Spanish is. We'll tell them right up front. That's not to say we don't fib and lie on those sites too. I guess everyone on those sites is guilty of that. But us U.S. males are much less prone to lying than the Latin ladies are. Though in most cases, it's not the little lies you have to worry about. It's what they don't tell you. ONS U.S. males are also more prone to forgive their lies and fibs, depending, of course, how cute or sexy their photos are. And they, in turn, will forgive our fibs, depending upon how desperate they are and how well we stack up financially as a future provider. So, watch out. At least half the Latin ladies in their profiles say they know some English. And some will even say they're fluent in English. And if they really are, you can bet they're high maintenance, and that's not what the average U.S. male is looking for in a Latin lady. Although, Johnny, as you've often pointed out, there are various definitions of high maintenance. There's high maintenance gringo style and high maintenance Latin style. But what I've found is that the more creative and interesting a Latin lady's profile, the more high maintenance she seems to be. And if she really does speak English, or for that matter, has a car, or she lives in a nice gated community, she's certain to be high maintenance. That's why when I'm communicating with a Latin lady, I always ask her what neighborhood she lives in, and you can go on Google Maps and find it these days. You can get right down to the street level, and you can see if it's kind of a scruffy, cruddy neighborhood, or if it's a really nice, upscale, well-appointed one. Then he says, high maintenance may or may not be bad, except I've gone through two divorces, and one of my wives was very high maintenance. And I want no part of that at this point in my life. All right, meet Johnny here again. In case you were wondering, our man Kevin is on the long side of 40. Then he says, as far as switching over to what's up with a lady after you've been texting on the dating site, the advantage there is you can exchange photos and videos, which you can't do on the mating site. All right, Johnny, let's not let our imaginations fall into the gutter now. The thing is, you want to share all kinds of photos back and forth because you want to see if she's really the same person in the photos she's posted on the mating site. Because many 30 and 40-something ladies will post much earlier photos of themselves on their Cupid dating site profiles. But with What's Up, she'll post photos that are current. Funny thing, Johnny, I've exchanged photos with a number of Latin girls, and some of them somehow can gain and lose 30 pounds from photo to photo. And that only can happen if she's digging out pics from way back in the archives. And be skeptical of her likes and dislikes as posted on her profile, because it's like a resume for a job interview. People get really creative with those things. My advice, check out her Facebook and Instagram pages. Then you'll know if she's a party girl or not, what kind of people she hangs out with, and what kind of neighborhood she's hanging in. You heard me say before that almost all the girls on those sites are in various stages of desperate. So be cautious, but don't let that dissuade you. There are a lot of very nice desperate girls on those sites too. Okay, fact. I'd say over 98% of women on that site over 25 have a kid with no dad around. And if he's around, there's no support. There's a lot of reasons for that, but I'd say the biggest one is that though the lady may have been to court and got awarded child support, there is no enforcement, so no one's garnishing anyone's check. And notice on a lady's profile, she'll often leave a lot of things blank. Kind of a red flag there. I'd say a big one for me and most guys is the box you check when you answer the question, do you have any kids? If so, age of the oldest kid and age of the youngest kid. If she fills it out, you know she's got kids. And if she doesn't fill it out, you know she's got kids. The more kids, the more desperate. Stands to reason. So how much will a guy, an American male, lie or fib in his profile? I guess it depends on how many flaws you think you have to plaster over. So what about the Latin ladies? For one thing, on the part that says level of education, you'll find almost all of them have bachelor's degrees. And you think, how is that possible? It's not true, but they're not really lying. It's just lost in translation. You'll find a high school degree in Latin America is called a bachillerato or something like that. How are they supposed to know the differences between the United States education system and their own? So that is forgivable, but you have to know they get it wrong. Otherwise, you're going to think they're all college girls. But I'd say 2% of the people on those sites actually have a college degree. And on their profiles, where it says lifestyle preferences, they'll put down that they like American music, New Age, jazz, reading, the classics, exactly what they think a gringo wants to hear. They just check the boxes. like you do when you set up your profile. So you'll see on the profiles, they all seem rather cultured and they like things that people don't do much of anymore, like read and go to museums. And it's all BS. But we Americans are known to pump up our resumes too, correct? Then you get to the part of the profile that says body style. You know, height, weight, thin, tall. And ladies will have a part that says measurements. There again, you can't go by what they put down there at all because they often mix up the English and the metric system. So sometimes you'll see what they put down is not humanly possible. For example, a petite lady will put down that she's 105 kilograms. That's over 200 pounds. Yet in her photo, she looks thin and delicate. Same thing with the waist, hips, and bust measurements. Some of them will just put down 100, 100, 100. That would mean naked, she looks like SpongeBob. So you can disregard some of that, but not all, depending on what the photos look like. However, in the body style section of her profile, if you see the words large and lovely, that could mean two things. She's either a Sherman tank, or she'll be one of those special Latinas with those Sofia Vergara massive killer curves that never seem to express themselves in the gene pool of the proverbial all-American girl next door. And if that's the case, you'd certainly think her photos on the profile would tell all. But Johnny, beware of those Latin girls with those killer Kardashian curves. I'd say 95%, even more, are running a game. They're most likely collecting money via Western Union from many a gringo who's fallen madly in love with their curves. Men are visual and we get sucked in by photos. And a lot of those ladies have a dirty little secret. It's not them at all in the photo. Many can string a gringo on a long, long time. Weeks grow into months. You'll never really know unless you go down and visit her in her hometown or make plans to ship her up to the States. Man, that's a bad idea. That those are not even her photos. It's the classic bait and switch. Then Kevin says, Johnny, you mentioned a lot of Latin ladies have tattoos. You want to see tattoos? Go to the Latin dating match sites. But there is something to be learned from all that. It's the oddest thing that sometimes you'll see in a lady's profile photos that the tattoos appear and disappear from photo to photo. Now you see them, now you don't. That's an easy game to figure out. She's saying, I want you to love me for who I am now, not what I used to look like in my party years, because she's giving you a dose of both. Also, Johnny, I mentioned that 99.9% of Latin ladies over 25 have a kid, and if they don't say it in their written profile, they're fibbing or avoiding the issue altogether because they know they lose points in the mating dating game. Then there's the opposite case. Funny enough, you'll find some ladies, though not many, are so proud of having a kid or two, they'll post photos of themselves and the kid right on their profile page. And that's, in a way, a really good sign. It means she loves her kid and she's not afraid to admit she has one and is probably a really good girl. Though, she's certainly not generating as much interest as the ladies who say they haven't got one. Fact, that's probably the main reason she's on the site in the first place. She needs someone, an American guy, who's got resources to help her support the kid. Then our man Kevin, Mr. Gringo Lonely Hearts, goes on to say, I said before the real interest starts heating up when she asks you to switch over to WhatsApp. And woe be to you if you don't have WhatsApp, they'll think you're gaming them or you have a wife that you're not telling them about. Now here's what you really have to know. The big red flags and deal breakers. And why would they be deal breakers? That's because there's something fishy going on. I bring this up because a lot of American men won't recognize this stuff. They think it's just a cultural difference. It's not. For example, if a girl is 25 to 35 and very, very hot looking on her photos, and she says she's a student, and she says she doesn't work, and she says she lives alone, well, for a Latin American girl, that's a virtual impossibility. And the right question to ask, but it would be kind of impolite to do so, is how can you afford an apartment, not work, and pay your school expenses too? The canned answers are one, my parents helped me, or two, I just lost my job a week or a month ago, whatever, and I'm living off my savings, but it's running out. Which is your cue, the savior gringo, to say, oh, really, what are your monthly expenses? Maybe I can help you out. Ha ha, Latinas and Latinos have no saving. So that's one big red flag. Another big red flag if she starts all of a sudden sending you sexy lingerie poses that are almost pornographic. That's definitely pay for play. Another red flag if all her photos, and especially on her Facebook and Instagram, are in bars and discos where she and her friends are half in the bag and the people at her table are not the kind you'd ever invite to your house. Bad sign, red flag, disconnect at once. Next, if you have a lady who's just sending you photos with no parents or kids or a normal house or a normal neighborhood, just seemingly professionally posed photos in very nice restaurants, hotels, alongside beautiful pools, beaches, jacuzzis and such, like she's always on vacation, look out. There's a reason she's very high maintenance and has had parents, husbands, or boyfriends pay for her lifestyle, and now somehow her lifestyle's taken a hit, and that's why she's on the Cupid site. And look out for those ladies who say they love to travel, and they have. You can see it in their pictures. They're by the Eiffel Tower, Disney World, or the Washington Monument. And beware, it's a red flag if she says in her profile she's looking for a man living within 60 miles of some U.S. town like L.A., Houston, or New York. Think about it. How in the hell could she be so specific? That usually means she has friends, relatives, or connections in that particular town. And she's on the site because she wants a green card. And look out if she says she's had a gringo boyfriend before. That means she's probably been ruined and turned into high maintenance by a gringo. And it's a big red flag if she Skypes or uses WhatsApp. And you see, she's in a weird time zone that doesn't make sense. For example, if it's 4 in the afternoon by you and the timestamp says it's 3 in the morning by her. Believe it or not, and this really sounds strange, but there are girls in Russia and Europe posing as Latinas to trick soft-headed Americans into sending them money. They speak English, so they get a lot of hits. Oh, and don't think a Latina's going over the top when they start calling you lover or cariño or corazón, which means heart, right at the get-go. They say that to grocery store baggers, taxi drivers, shoeshine guys. It's just a Latin lady thing. Other big red flags, if she's got a truly up dysfunctional family, it's not like in the U.S. where you can disconnect from that. Other big red flags, gangbanger brother or cousins or exes or male family members heavily tattooed. The kind of people you'd never invite over to your house. So how are you supposed to know? Well, you'll start picking up on it as she sends you various photos through WhatsApp. Go ahead and tell her you want to see photos of her house and her family, and when they have get-togethers and parties, she'll do that. Then have a close look. Oh, damn, we're at the end of the show again, and I still haven't got to the best parts yet. Stay tuned. On the next show, we'll get to it.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.